At First Bank Kansas, we know ag. Our team is ready to help you whether you need a loan for land, equipment, or livestock. We will customize a solution for you. Call a First Bank Kansas ag lender in Salina, Ellsworth, McPherson, Abilene, Lindsborg, or Hutchison. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome to Let's Talk Lindsborg on 96.7 FM KBBE. Let's Talk Lindsborg is an opportunity for you to hear what events are coming up in the Lindsborg community, as well as hear the story behind the story of Lindsborg and all that it entails. Now here is Nathan Sage and Holly Lofton with the Lindsborg Convention and Visitors Bureau.
And welcome into another episode of Let's Talk Lindsborg. Nathan Sage joined once again by Holly Lofton. Holly, this time we got one person with us. It seems like we've had a couple people in over the past few episodes, but this time we got Frank Reese with the Heritage Poultry Project. I know it's something you've talked to me a lot off air, but we have Frank with us. Take us through kind of why you, especially Holly, wanted to make sure we got this out here on Let's Talk Lindsborg.
Well, I think this is something that's really interesting, I guess. And one of the things we talked about when we started doing this segment was that we were going to not only talk about tourism, but topics of interest for our county, not just Lindsborg itself, but even McPherson County. And I think this is a topic that's even more important than just our county. Many of us have known Frank for years because he's taken care of us when we've gone in for surgery. He's put us to sleep. We've maybe seen him for 5 minutes, but he's taken good care of us as we were put under. He's been doing anesthesia at our hospital for, what did you tell me?
32 years,
so a long time. So many of us know him from that, but we don't know him from his long standing, and it's been longer than 32 years, your background with Heritage Birds.
Yep.
So can you tell us a little bit about how that got started in your life and just about your experience and why you have a passion for this?
Well, I'm a fourth generation Kansas farmer, and then even farther back as far as an American farmer. So I was born into this, and as a young child, I was put in charge of the poultry because I was one of the younger kids. So it started working with what I call standard bred poultry in 4-H, and showed for 10 years and was in 4-H, and then continued my love for raising these birds, and then went on and joined the American Poultry Association, became a licensed judge, and continued to work with these birds.
Something that's different about your birds, though, we think about chicken. For me, as a non-farmer, I go to the grocery store and I buy chicken. But it's very different than what you're doing, and there's something that's so vitally important about what you're doing. And can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, the type of poultry that I raise is the type of poultry everybody would have had on their farm 70-80 years ago. These are when they add multiple different breeds and different types and so on of poultry, and that's what fed us back then before the industrialization of farming. So a number of these breeds that I have are now considered on the endangered list. There's getting to be fewer and fewer. But not only are we losing the birds, we're also losing the people who know how to breed and select and reproduce these birds. So my main mission in starting the Good Shepherd Conservancy was not only to save many of these endangered birds, but also this way of farming, this way of bringing back non-hybridized, non-genetically engineered poultry into our food system again.
So give me an idea, the difference between a heritage bird and what we maybe have been purchasing at a grocery store. What's the difference genetically?
Well, there's a huge difference genetically. To try to say it simply is the modern industrial broiler chicken that people buy at the grocery store today. And I use the word genetically engineered, which some people confuse with genetically modified. These birds, the modern industrial chicken has not been genetically modified, but it has been genetically engineered through certain mutations to reach a performance. In other words, the modern industrial broiler can get to 6.5 pounds in less than 50 days. Most chickens that you buy at the grocery store, if you buy a chicken that weighs 3, 3.5, 4 pounds, that chicken only lived 42 days.
Wow.
Where for non-genetically engineered, non-mutated chickens like I raise would take 4 months to get to that same thing, 120, 140, almost double. So what the industry has done through various mutations, a lot of people think it's antibiotics and steroids, and that's not true. These animals would grow this rate even if I had them on my farm. They have been genetically designed to do this. The turkey is the same thing. They can get a 20-pound turkey in 12 weeks. It would take me 24 weeks, twice as long.
So they were looking when they were breeding to be able to bring something from infancy to finished product in a short time, but it caused some issues along the way. And you've shared that with me in the past, that you've needed to introduce some genetics to that again to bring health back to a flock potentially. Am I understanding that right?
Well, all the modern industrial broiler chickens and turkeys are what I call dead-end animals. In other words, you cannot keep them and reproduce them. They can only be reproduced within the industrial system that has set that up. The modern industrial turkey, because it has been so radically changed in its skeletal structure and because of its morbid obese size, it can no longer naturally mate anymore. 100% of all commercial turkeys are reproduced artificially. Toms are kept in one barn and hens in another barn because they physically cannot mate anymore.
As we have gone through the pandemic, I think a lot more of us have been reading about our food and learning more because how we purchased our food, how it was delivered to us, all of that has been different. And I think there's been more interest in being healthy, partly because of COVID. We want to have healthy bodies to be able to fight off virus. But I think also we're just more curious about that. So give me, how do you purchase heritage poultry? Is there a way to do it? Like, what do we look for? It's harder to get your hands on, is it not?
Yeah, it's very difficult. There's so few people that have the knowledge left to be able to understand how to produce what they're calling heritage poultry, I call standard bred poultry, of quality anymore. But the real issue isn't the farmers. It isn't that we don't have the birds' capability out there. We don't have the infrastructure anymore to support this type of farming. McPherson County is very lucky. We do have Crables in McPherson that is capable of processing standard bred poultry, and I have been working with Crables probably for 20 years. That's really, really rare around the country. Most of the people who are dealing with this are trying to bring back heritage poultry back into the market. This is the number one issue. Plus, we have to meet all the federal guidelines, all the state guidelines. We have to meet all the rules and regulations for shipping and processing and packaging. And that's why it's so expensive.
So you, we've already talked about, do something else as your main source of income. And this is a sideline for you really and truly, is it not?
Well, yeah. I mean, the reason I started doing this was about 20-some years ago. I began to realize that most of the people who had taught me, where I used to share birds back and forth with a lot of the people that I knew around throughout the United States, not just in Kansas, but were all dying and disappearing. And when these people would die, the birds would disappear also. So I began to realize that I had to do something. And so I started working with a company out of New York City, Heritage Foods USA, founded by Patrick Martins, and he started working with me, and it has grown from the first year we did 600 turkeys to now we're doing 8,000 or 10,000, but they're all going to the market in New York.
Yeah, they're not here.
Yeah.
They're not in this area. So you have an exciting project that you've been working on, and it's beginning to come to fruition in a very visible way. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think it's so unique and it's so amazing that it's here in McPherson County.
Well, a number of years ago, I began to realize as I was asked to go and speak at various groups around the country. I mean, I've traveled all over. I was part of a documentary and everything. But I began to realize that wasn't doing any good, that I had to to actually build a central area where people could actually come and spend a day, 3 days, a week, 6 months, whatever, to learn, not just from me, but some of the other people that I know around the United States and Canada who still hold the knowledge of how to produce these birds in a marketable level. And so we needed a center. Plus, we're losing the art and the libraries, the archives, all of this stuff is disappearing. And this type of farming is not taught anymore in any land-grant university. And so there's enough people now who care about this and see the importance of this, because we need to teach the next generation. You know, so part of what the Conservancy will do is we've already reached out to the K-State Extension and for 4-H and for FFA, and we've gotten a really good response.
So we're looking now, what you're going to be doing here is going to start educating kids even, potentially.
Oh, yes. Yeah, very much so. When I talked with some of the Extension agents, especially Ryan Fleming out of Newton, you know, Kansas is very, very good at promoting beef. It's very good at promoting pork. They have Pork Day. K-State has Beef Day, in which kids come from all over, and most states, Oklahoma, Texas, and all that. But they really don't have anything for poultry.
Yes, and so this is important that we're starting to do this.
And so they're excited about, you know, some of the Extension people said not only could they bring, you know, kids from every county in the state of, in the state of Kansas, but they see this opening up to Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, other places, because this just isn't being done anymore, and yet there's a tremendous interest, again, for backyard poultry, for backyard hobbyists, for people who want to raise their own poultry, who don't know how to do it.
Yeah, and during the pandemic, there's been more interest in having your own chickens, at least for eggs, if nothing else. And when we talk about this, you talk about your dream, but I think your dream goes farther than even just the state of Kansas or the surrounding states. I think it's a worldwide project, is it not?
Yeah, in fact, it was interesting this morning. I heard from a guy from Australia who is excited about what we're doing here, and he said, you know, he wants to come to the other side, you know, to visit. I've heard from people from Mexico, people from South America, people from a gentleman who's trying to save the Africana chickens, what's left of them in Africa. And then, of course, I hear a lot from people from Germany and England. And I've had visitors here at my farm. I mean, a lot of people don't realize here that we've had people here from all around the world that have come to come out to my farm. But the farm has been very closed up till now because I had no way of controlling it. And biosecurity is extremely important to me. But we've got to open the doors. And that's why we need a separate buildings and separate structures and so on for people to come.
And learn. Just learn everything they need to know.
Because it isn't going to be just open to, you know, we're hoping just the general public will come. You know, we want to have a gallery where people can follow the history of the production of poultry in America. The American Poultry Association, which is the oldest agricultural organization in America, in 2023 will celebrate its 150th anniversary. And so they're very interested in what we're doing here. And the national officers of the APA is really hoping that this happens because they have no central place. And they would love to have this sort of become a central place for another reason, is to have a place where they can store their archives, have a hall of fame. And because, I mean, to go off subject a little bit, I mean, one of the important things to me, my main mentor was Norman Kardosh from Alton, Kansas. And he taught me as a little kid. And one of the things he said, not only should I save the birds, actual living animals, but he said, don't let them forget the people.
That's very true. We sometimes do that, don't we? We forget who's taught us and who's carried the legacy all of these years, and that is so vitally important. So as we talk about bringing people in, then they're able to go back with the education they have and raise birds potentially around the world. And most people around the world raise their own food, correct?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of this that the industry, and my I don't ever want to badmouth the industry. I mean, my job is not to destroy what Tyson or anybody's doing. But 35%, and this comes from the World Health Organization, 35% of the people around the world still do sustainable local farming. They do not have access to electricity, and they don't have access, you know, they can't go to their local Colonel Sanders or Chick-fil-A or whatever. They still have to produce their own food. So when the industry says they've got to do this type of farming because they got to feed a hungry world, what they're doing is actually feeding about 60% of the world. Most of the world is still dependent upon subsistence farming. The type of poultry that we have, that I raise, is the poultry that would feed those people, that it is not dependent upon man-made animals to feed them.
It's not grocery store. It's people that are, like, as you say, it's sustainable farming. They're farming, raising their own crops, their own livestock, and they're feeding their family.
Well, these turkeys and chickens are still capable of reproducing themselves.
Exactly.
You don't have to go back to the factory farm to buy your birds. These birds can reproduce themselves and feed you for generations. My birds are still capable of not only naturally mating, but they're still capable of sitting on their eggs and hatching them and being mothers and raising them. I mean, people don't realize that's gone out of those grocery store birds.
So this has been really interesting. If people want to learn more about this, where would they go?
Go to GoodShepherdConservancy.org and look at our website. We have our mission, and we have our visions, and we have our purposes. We have a whole page dedicated just to youth and to farmers to see what's possible. You know, maybe you just want a one-day class. Maybe you want to come and learn everything it takes, you know, because we also will get into feed and nutrition. We're also eventually going to build a building just for culinary purposes, because the other thing is people don't even know how to cook these birds anymore. Mm-hmm. They're so radically different from what you buy at the store that cooking is even different. So we have a number of chefs who are going to come, and we've got some really good support from like Alice Waters and from Martha Stewart and some of these people who hopefully will reach out and help us as well.
I have a few questions. One, you know, you talked about the industry, and you know, obviously don't want to talk bad about that, but have you gotten any pushback from that angle of it? Have you had people almost angry with you because of what you're doing?
You know, I have gotten really good response from the industry. I was on the cover of Watts, which is the international poultry magazine, the number for the industry. I mean, they actually talked about me building this. I've had the heads of Purdue here at my farm. I truly enjoyed them. I had the heads of Hybrid here. I had the heads of Nicholas. They've not been the problem. The problem, believe it or not, has come from the animal rights groups, not from the industry. The animal rights groups, you know, they don't want you eating animals, period. And
yes.
So, you know, they don't care what you do. You know, they're the ones probably I'm the most leery of. But the industry's been, you know, I spoke in Washington a few years ago at the National Turkey Federation. They invited me because they knew I was getting quite a bit of attention and they wanted to know. And so I went to Washington and I spoke at their national leadership conference. And I said, basically, I'm just telling you your own history. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing is nothing new. I'm farming like everybody in the world did 70 years ago. I raised turkeys like your industry started. And so they couldn't have been kinder, you know.
Well, my last question, I know that, as Holly was saying, during the pandemic, it seems like things that we used to do are kind of picking back up, and that one of those is raising chickens and having gardens and things like that. And I know from my own family's experience, they have their chickens in their backyards and everything like that. But I also know that some cities and counties can also have kind of a legal stoppage of that, like they don't want certain turkeys or roosters in town and just things like that. Yeah. So is that something that you also have to worry about, or when you're teaching this to help people and helping them get started in their own aspect, is that something you have to be conscious of knowing, kind of almost fighting those laws, if you will?
Well, part of what I'm needing to do is, you know, I'm willing to work with what I call the backyard people. That's one segment. Most of those people, their intentions are good, and we're willing to help if they want to keep 20 chickens or stuff. But for me to save these birds from extinction, I need to reach out to big farms. Mm-hmm. You know, the farmers I'm working with now are raising somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 turkeys, and they're raising them out on pasture. We're talking acreage, you know. That's the real ones that's going to help save these birds. So, when people come to me and they say they want to do this, I always say, you know, how much, you know, what is it you want the bird to do? You know, it's one thing if you want to raise some chickens and get a dozen eggs every week for your family, or two dozen a day or something. And if you really, or if you want to make an extra $20,000 or $30,000 a year for your family, then you've got to go to that next level. And it's not either or, it's both and. You know, the conservancy hopefully will help with both of those things. Because when people come to me and say, can I raise heritage chickens or turkeys or standard bred birds for a living, I'd say, no, you can't. But you can add an extra income to your family. And that's what I have now. Jim and Tammy Dahlstein,
yes.
You know, they're in
yes.
their, I don't know, fourth or fifth year of doing this, you know. And then I have the Foxes, and this will be their fourth or fifth or sixth year. And some of the other farmers I had, the problem is a lot of us are getting old, you know. And these people aren't doing it, you know, they love raising these birds and they like having them. But, you know, they're doing it because they're bringing some extra money into their family income.
It augments what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And so part of what the conservancy is going to be different than, you know, we have the American Poultry Association, the Livestock Conservancy, there's all these groups out there that are wanting to save heritage, this and that. But what we want to do is help people with the economics. How can I make a living? How can I do this and generate this? And eventually, I'm working with a gentleman out of New Jersey who eventually we're working with Purdue also. To try to set up farms on the East Coast. Because the big market for this is in New York and Philadelphia and Maryland and D.C. and stuff. But Kansas is still right now very unique in that many, and not just in poultry, but also in cattle and sheep and hogs, for some reason we're sort of the area where a lot of these old genetics have been held. Mm-hmm. They've been lost in many parts of the country. You know, like my bronze turkeys have been here in Kansas on the farm now for 103 years. So the same line. And that's very unique.
So we hope that people do go to your website. Again, tell us what it is.
GoodShepherdConservancy.org.
And make sure you seriously go there, read, learn. Frank is breaking ground right now. You're
yes.
doing some work, which is super
yep.
exciting. So we're going to be able to watch that, I think, as that begins to take place. And I think you'll begin to hear more stories about this educational component coming to be in McPherson County. I think it's a great untold story for our county, and I hope it's one that people really become more aware of and really come behind and support, because it's really important. It's very important. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's Let's Talk Lenzburg. To hear the complete episode again, visit midkansasonline.com. Tune in every first and third Wednesday of each month at 12:30 for another episode of Let's Talk Lenzburg, only on 96.7 FM KBBE.